He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, August 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Boy, did we have a day in the market yesterday. We had a blast off. We had ignition. We had liftoff. NASDAQ hitting a new all-time high and closing in, boy, just 10 points away now, 12 points away now from 15,000. And we're off to a pretty good start, not like yesterday, but we're following through on yesterday's big move in the market. The Dow is up 42 points right now, 35,377. That is not a new all-time high. It's about 220 points away from its all-time high of 35,620. The S&P is up 8 points, 4487. I do believe that that's a new high for the S&P 500. We've definitely got a new all-time high for the NASDAQ today. It's up 51, 14,993. And there were some big movers in that NASDAQ yesterday. You know, all the usual names, I would say, the semiconductor stocks sector, the software sector, the FANG stocks, etc. Google had a huge day yesterday, breaking out to new all-time highs. The Russell 2000 small caps up 0.5% today, 22.19 on the Russell 2000. Crude oil is up $1.40, 67.04. That's a pretty good comeback. It was at 61-something last Friday. Gold's up $2, 18.08. Silver's up 21 cents to 23.87. The bond market, very quiet, has had very little reaction to the taper talk last week. 1.28 is where the 10-year sits. And Bitcoin down 1,600 today to 48,541. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had, seems like maybe the taper tantrum, which the market threw Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of last week, where it laid down in the aisle and pounded the floor and didn't get what it wanted. It wants, what does the market want? It wants stimulus forever, ad infinitum, just keep putting money into the punch, or keep spiking the punch bowl, I guess. And spending, 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 spending. And the first little bit of, hey, maybe we're going to cut back a little bit, was talked about last week by our friends at the Fed. It's called taper. Maybe we're going to taper back just a little bit. Instead of buying billions and billions per month, we'll just buy billions per month, you know, something to that effect of bonds for the most part. And that did put the, that did set off a 3-day taper tantrum, really 2-day taper tantrum, I guess. And, you know, the third day was just in anticipation of that. Well, that taper tantrum seems to be over. And, you know, I said in my show last week and over the weekend in my newsletter that, you know, the market always returns eventually to earnings. You know, it can worry about tapering, and it can worry about inflation, and it can worry about what the Fed's going to do. But at the end of the day, what carries the most weight in the equities market? Earnings. Earnings carry the most weight. Just like in the bond market, interest rates carry the most weight. Well, I think the market looked at the results of this earnings season that has now pretty much come to an end. And the smashing earnings season it was, and the upgrades to estimates for the S&P 500 for this year, next year, and the following year. And said, you know, the taper tantrum, the tapering of the bond purchases by the Fed probably is going to have very little to do with earnings, and that market just blasted off yesterday. The Dow was up 216 points yesterday. It's still a few hundred points away from its all-time high, but, you know, I said that 35,000 was kind of a magic number. It needs to stay above that. That was resistance for a long, long time, and now that resistance has become a support level. And the Dow is holding above that 35,000 so far. The S&P 500, just by a few points, but it did hit a new all-time high yesterday at 44.79. And now we've got a new all-time high again on the S&P 500, which, if memory serves me right, I've reminded you of this many times. Back in 2009, March of 2009, the S&P bottomed out at 667. Today it's 4,479. The NASDAQ just had a monster day yesterday. It was up 228 points. It's at 14,942, and right now it's up more and very close to, oh, there it is, 15,002. Now, I don't know if the NASDAQ will close above 15,000, but there you've got a new all-time high. And, you know, a lot of times a big number like that can all of a sudden become a resistance number, like 35,000 became for the Dow. So we'll watch that very, very closely. But we do have, for the first time in history, the NASDAQ above 15,000. That was a good day, obviously. Now we start a new day today. And we're off, like I say, to a pretty good start. All right. Well, you know, one of the sectors that moved yesterday, I saw a return to a little bit to last year's big winners. Okay. I'm talking about a lot of these Canoe and Romeo Power and ChargePoint and really the speculative end of the spectrum of the market that did very well last year. I would not get back in or anywhere near those stocks. To me, this is a market right now, as we're in the 12th year of expansion of the U.S. economy and of earnings of the S&P 500. To me, it's a market that very much wants very high quality, big cap, dependable earnings, growth. That's just my point of view. You do what you want to do. I'm giving you my point of view. And I think the market wants sectors that have been reliable sectors for earnings over the years. That pretty much comes down to the medical sector, the technology sector. And I'm not talking about the biotechs in the medical sector. I'm talking about the medical device makers, the big pharma companies, the healthcare companies, etc. And in tech, I don't think the market wants the little speculative tech stocks, the startups, the SPACs. I wouldn't go near that stuff. I think it wants NVIDIA, you know. I think it wants Apple. I think it wants Amazon. I think it wants Microsoft. Those are the stars here during this latest round. And that's pretty much where I'm parked. You know, I have 100% of my funds for my clients invested in publicly traded companies, the best that I can find, and they're totally liquid, and I just think that's the best place to be right now. As far as the bond market goes, we do own some individual bonds in our bond fund, but it's you're owning individual bonds. You're not owning a bond fund like, an ETF or whatnot. You can hold those bonds to maturity. Whereas in a bond fund, you know, they're always having changes to the holdings, and you have no control over holding those bonds to maturity. So I would be very careful with bond funds right now. All right, let's see what else we got. Yeah, okay, so Canoe leads the EV and autonomous driving stock rally. Okay, let's have a rally. Let's go to Canoe, which is Go EV, and Proterra, and RC Moto, which is FUV, which makes electric scooters, and Hylian, and Romeo Power, and ChargePoint, and Fisker, and Nikola, and Arrival, and Blink Charging, and Laser, and Luminar Technologies. No thanks. I know they had a good day yesterday. Probably a lot of short covering, to be honest with you. But, you know, last year's market was kind to those types of stocks. There was a lot of speculation in last year's market. There's a lot of theories as to why. A lot of people sitting at home with not a lot to do, you know, casinos closed, etc. And you had all those meme stocks. And you had a lot of these really speculative stocks that are way out there on the limb that had big years. Well, you know what? That was last year. This is this year. There may have been money made in that area of the market last year, but this is 2021 now. It's a totally different market this year, so you might want to listen to what I have to say the rest of this show here. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. We try to find the best stocks. Now, there's no guarantees, but that's what we're after, just like a baseball team is looking for the best players now. As my San Diego Padres enter into a big three-game series with the Dodgers, it doesn't look good for the Padres. You know, every single year something happens. And, you know, they try to put those 25 best guys on the field. It doesn't always work out, but I do my best to find really high-quality stuff that, you know, isn't from yesteryear and flailing about and no earnings growth anymore and not vital anymore and full of vitality. We're trying to find good stocks of today. A lot of changes taking place in technology and medicine, in all kinds of, in the automobile sector, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, the Dow is up 59 right now, and the NASDAQ has actually tacked on a little more to that 15,000. It's 15,010 now. 15,010 on the NASDAQ. Okay, what's doing it? Why? Well, you know, everybody has their opinion. I see an article on Seeking Alpha here saying that the NASDAQ and Dow extend their rally on vaccine optimism. Well, there was an event yesterday with the vaccine, I believe it was Pfizer's version of the vaccine, getting full approval by the FDA. Not just, you know, temporary approval, emergency approval, full approval. And that was one reason put behind the rally in the market yesterday. I think it was more about earnings myself and the realization that the Fed's not going to move very quickly. They're going to be very patient. Jay Powell will err on the side of caution. They're having their big Jackson Hole symposium. Boy, that's a beautiful place to get to have a little get-together, especially this time of year. You don't want to be there in January. But the feeling is that, you know, he's going to be very, very conservative, and any steps he takes with tightening or, you know, tapering too quickly, that kind of thing. That $4.1 trillion economic agenda, they scrapped the vote on that, the House of Representatives. You've got two different infrastructure plans. One is, you know, the physical infrastructure plan, and the other is the human infrastructure plan, which is a lot of social programs, etc. But nine Democratic lawmakers oppose plans that would advance the infrastructure bill. So now they're going to separate them into two bills, and we'll see where that goes. Now, another another result of that final approval by the FDA on Pfizer's vaccine, well, now they're really calling, stepping up the pressure on companies to make it mandatory to get a vaccine. vaccine, okay? Joe Biden is calling on corporations to impose vaccine requirements for employees. And, of course, you know, at some point, it may be that customers, you know, what if Target? I just lay out all the possible scenarios, all right? I could see the airline saying you can't fly without proof of vaccine, which would not really be good for the travel, the hotels, that kind of, you know, the tourism industry. I can see restaurants, although the restaurants have had a tough time of it. Their biggest problem right now is finding enough help, not enough customers, enough help. And a lot of restaurants are closing in our area, you know, certain days of the week. One closed down indefinitely, one of our top restaurants, because they can't find good help, qualified help, to help them. But, you know, you could see some vaccine mandates start to show up at restaurants. I know some of the NFL teams have already created a vaccine mandate if you want to come see the team play. And so, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. It is an issue, and it does trickle into the economy, all right? That's why I bring up these issues. Some of them are controversial issues, but at the end of the day, everything trickles in to the S&P 500 earnings and the U.S. economy. Chinese companies trickle into the market and poor investors, don't they? The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, otherwise known as the SEC, is said to have begun to give new disclosure rules to Chinese companies that want to list in New York. Well, I told you about that last week, Gary Gensler, who is the SEC chairman, talking about, you know, a lot of times you're not even buying a Chinese company. You're buying a shell that is actually in the Cayman Islands, okay? Well, they're going to have to disclose that. The SEC late last month asked Chinese companies not to submit any registrations for IPOs until it gives them specific guidance on China risk. Okay, so they've got to disclose now a lot more risk in their companies, especially these IPOs. In light of the recent developments in China and the overall risk with the China-based VIE, that's a variable interest entity, okay? That means it could be in the Cayman Islands and it's representing a Chinese company. Gensler is calling on these companies. He's going to tighten up the rules for their disclosure before they go public. For me, I just wouldn't touch. Yes, I have owned Alibaba in the past. I've owned Tencent Holdings. I've owned JD.com. Those were very big growth companies, growth giants. But now, you know, with what China has done, has really shot themselves in the foot, their markets, and guys like me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, many other institutional investors or RIAs, we're just not going to touch anything, any Chinese stock. Well, not Cathie Wood. Cathie Wood, who's in the news every day, she's picking up JD.com after their strong earnings report. In fact, there's a little rally going on today in the Chinese stocks. Well, I'm going to watch it from the sidelines. Okay, that's me. All right, now there's two big macro calls out today on the market. I publish my own macro call on the market every week in my newsletter, and it's based on earnings and earnings forecast and how the economy's going and how earnings seasons are going and the multiples that the market should be trading at now. And everybody has an opinion on this, okay? And I listen to everybody else's opinion, but at the end of the day, I form my own opinion on the macro call of the market. When we come back, two well-known names, Jeffrey Gundlach, who's always controversial, who always has something to say that's like way out there, you know, from the mainstream. And the other one I want to talk about is Wells Fargo has a target price out for the S&P 500, and I want to compare it and tell you what I think of that. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Wow, NASDAQ 15,019 and counting. It's up 76 points. We're having a very nice day today with the publicly traded company portfolios that I manage here for clients. And let's see what else. Oh, those macro calls. You know, I say it all the time. It's really important. I mean, you can be a very good stock selection person or an ETF selection person or a mutual fund selection person, but a Chinese mutual fund is not going to do very well in a Chinese bear market. And likewise, a small cap U.S. equity fund or even a large cap equity fund is not going to do very well in a bear market or in a recession. All right. So I personally think, I believe strongly that the macro outlook of the market and the U.S. economy matter a lot. Okay. And I do listen. I publish mine every week. All right. So I'm transparent. You know where I stand on the market every single week. But I do listen to what others have to say to see where I stand versus what they have to say. Well, let's begin with Jeffrey Gundlach. There's not many times, you know, he's kind of a media hound a little bit, likes attention and whatnot, says a lot of outrageous things sometimes. But you know what? I think what he's saying here is that I pretty much agree. Jeffrey Gundlach. The first four letters of his name are similar. Maybe that's why we're simpatico. Founder and CEO at Double Line Capital, which, you know, some consider Gundlach to be the new bond king, you know, after Bill Gross, I guess, retired. Gundlach said Monday that even with the high valuations commanded in the equity market, stocks remain cheaper than bonds as the Federal Reserve stimulus has substantially inflated the treasury market. He says there's the bubble, the treasury market. And because those interest rates are so low, and I've been saying this also, that's allowing the multiple of the market to expand. We've been talking about how the long-term average of the forward PE of the S&P 500 is in the 16, 17, 18 area, and right now we're at 22 times forward earnings. And that's being brought about by these low interest rates that are being kept low by the Fed and their balance sheet. Now, what impact does the balance sheet of the Fed have on the market? Gundlach contended that the relationship between the Fed's balance sheet, which increases in value as the central bank conducts its asset purchase stimulus, and the market capitalization of the S&P 500 has remained steady. In other words, there's a very tight correlation between the Fed expanding their balance sheet, that means they're buying bonds or whatever in the market, mostly bonds, that the market, that's like cannon fodder, that's like feed. The market continues to feed on that and go higher. He goes on to say, as long as the Fed is expanding its balance sheet, there is a tailwind behind the stock market. Okay. Now, you know why last week when the Fed said we may start to taper back a little bit, the market reacted pretty violently for a couple of days. Well, that's because that tailwind, instead of being a 200 miles an hour, may only be 175 miles per hour. That's what Gundlach is saying. So I agree with Gundlach. Now, he does make a pretty strong statement. He says the 10-year Treasury should be 100 to 200 basis points higher than it is now. Well, where are we now? We're at 1.27. He thinks it should be at 2.27 or even 3.27. That's where it should be if the Fed was not intervening and was letting the market work instead. Okay. Let's go to another market observer and person and a firm with a lot of clout. Wells Fargo sets their street-high year-end estimate for the S&P 500, but they're cautious on 2022. Wells Fargo puts out a target price by the end of this year for the S&P 500 of 4,825. They are using EPS of 211. Well, they're using a much higher multiple than I am to get to 48.25 by the end of the year. But that is their target price for this year. And I will say that my target price for the S&P 500 over the next few years is higher than where the S&P is right now. But there is a caveat. They say, looking ahead to 2022, Wells Fargo is more cautious with an index multiple compression. Okay, we've talked about that many times. There's a simple equation we use in valuing companies or valuing what we think indexes are worth. We take the earnings expectations or earnings estimates, we multiply them by a multiple, which is also equivalent to a P-E ratio or forward P-E, and we come up with a target price, okay? And Wells Fargo is worried that that middle part of that equation, the multiple, is going to start contracting. And I would agree wholeheartedly with that. What will make it contract for sure? Rising interest rates. Now, if for some reason people keep plowing money into bonds, we had rising interest rates in February and March of this year. It had a tremendous adverse impact on high multiple types of securities. That speculative end of the market. Well, then what happened? Interest rates started coming down again. You know, it's like, wow, make up your mind. Interest rates went up to 1.8, 1.9. Then they started coming down again, clear down to about 1.1. And now they're barely climbing up just a little. I mean, we're at 1.27 right now. But if interest rates should start climbing again, that will compress the multiple. And the stocks that would be the most vulnerable would be the high multiple stocks. Okay? It's as simple as that. It's math. It's math. That's why I have to be so vigilant looking out for everybody on a daily basis here on all of these reports that come in on the economy, etc. Big powwow in the White House today on security. No, not bazookas and landmines and barbed wire. Biden meeting with Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, IBM, Southern Company, JP Morgan, Alphabet, about cybersecurity issues. I continue to like that sector. It's the software sector. It's the technology sector. But in particular, it's the cybersecurity sector. There's a big winner in that sector today. They reported earnings after the close. They beat earnings. They guided higher. And they're buying back shares. Okay, that's the trifecta there if you're an investor. I do not own this particular cybersecurity stock. I own others, but Palo Alto Networks, PANW, is one of the big players in this sector. Palo Alto is up $65 per share today. That's a 17.7% move. And I got to believe that other, let's look at the cybersecurity ETF, which is HACK. That's the one I follow, HACK. It's up to you. You can follow BUG. You can follow HACK. They both pretty much have the same stocks in them. HACK is up 1.4% today. BUG is up 2.7%, which means they probably have a little more exposure to Palo Alto Networks than HACK does. So, yeah, you know, cybersecurity is a problem. It's a big problem. They're holding data. They're holding important stuff. They're stealing our personal, identification on our PIN numbers and all kinds of stuff. and holding companies hostage will give it back to you if you pay the ransom. So cybersecurity is going to continue to be, in my opinion, a very big issue and sector, growth sector, going forward. Okay, we'll end with this little story, and then when we come back, we'll talk about a few stocks that I continue to like. I'll talk about a few I don't like and some that are in the news today. This is nice of Airbnb is going to house 20,000 Afghan refugees. Now, talking about a stock I do not like, Airbnb. It's never made a profit. And there's no they're expected to make money next year, but it is an ultra-high multiple stock. It's not for
me. This is Bill Gunderson, professional
Airbnb.
Money manager.
We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. We had blast off in the market today, and we've got the NASDAQ continuing. It's hitting another new high today. It's above 15,000 at 15,017. Kind of goes along with my theme of what I've been saying. This is not a market that wants autonomous driving software or battery charging companies or electric vehicle startups. This is a market that wants good old quality, reliable, you know, the Microsofts of the world, the Googles of the world, the Apples of the world. I mean, that's just the way the market is right now. It's different from last year. The market's afraid that interest rates could start going higher and very, very nervous about stepping into very high multiple or no multiple. If you don't have any sales, you don't have any price to sales ratio. If you don't have any earnings, you don't have any price to earnings ratio. And on and on and on. So it just seems to be the theme. And I also think, and I've been saying this, I think there's room for the reflation stocks, okay? Big quality financials are a good hedge against rising interest rates because they do well. A Goldman Sachs does well in a rising interest rate environment. And some of these basic material stocks, I still think, you know, make some sense with all the infrastructure coming down the pike and the shortages out there. And, you know, behind the curve on the supply chain, steel, iron ore, et cetera, I think you have to have a balanced attack right now. That's just me. You do what you want to do. I'm telling you what I'm doing. Okay, now, a couple stocks to mention, then I'll very quickly just mention an example, okay, of a stock in today's world that is kind of, you know, a very well-positioned today stock in a very fast-growth area. It's not a tobacco stock in a very an area that's losing growth, or long-distance company like AT&T, which has not been growing for a long time. I'm looking for the viable, vital stocks that are flourishing in today's market, today's economy. All right, let's see. Any Best Buy beats by $1.09? That's not it. I'm not a big fan of big box bricks and mortar retail stocks. We talked about Palo Alto Networks, which is having a terrific day. Visa is jumping into this non-fungible token market. They're making a purchase of CryptoPunk. I think Visa is a very high-quality company, and I've owned Visa in the past. Camping World doubles their quarterly dividend. That's a shock. That's a surprise. That stock's up 3.8% today. But my featured stock of the day is going to come from the cybersecurity. There's a new member of the NASDAQ 100, okay? It's selected for the index. That means it's in the QQQ now, and it's in all of the other ETFs that track the NASDAQ and mutual funds that track the NASDAQ. And we've got CrowdStrike being that company. They will become a component of the NASDAQ 100. Now, CrowdStrike, CRWD, is a major player in cybersecurity. This is not a micro-cap stock. It's not a small-cap stock. We'll call it a large mid-cap stock at $60 billion in market capitalization. $60 billion in market capitalization. And a very dominant force in this cybersecurity sector. CrowdStrike also, there was another company that recently went public. The symbol is S, the old symbol for Sears, which obviously not around anymore. But Sentinel One S is a competitor that recently went public in this same sector of cybersecurity. Well, we own CrowdStrike. We don't own it in our dividend portfolio. We don't own it in our large cap growth portfolio. We own it in our aggressive growth portfolio. This is a more aggressive stock than an Apple, for instance, okay? CrowdStrike, if you look at their last four quarters of sales growth, 84%, 86%, 74%, and 70%. Their last four quarters of earnings growth, 125%, 214%, 750%, 400%, with no guarantees going forward. I'm using this as an example. This isn't AT&T with 1%, 1.5%, minus 1%. That's the state of a lot of these older tech companies, the IBMs. They're not growing anymore, which makes it difficult. The stocks follow earnings, and if indexes follow earnings, if you're not growing those earnings, it's difficult to get capital appreciation. But at the same time, these higher growth stocks, you know, they're more volatile. You got to look at the beta on these stocks. They fling around a little bit more, and I own 25 of in my aggressive growth portfolio to spread out my risk. And I personally keep kind of a tight rein on stocks like this myself. CrowdStrike is CRWD. I bought it several weeks ago in my aggressive growth portfolio. We continue to own CrowdStrike. And good news on it today, it's going into the NASDAQ 100. That's no reason to buy it, but hey, it gives it a little credibility, right? And at the same time, there's good news on one of his competitors, Palo Alto Networks, PANW, which just had blowout earnings. So it's a good day for CrowdStrike, and we'll use that as our example today of a stock that meets my criteria. And I call them best stocks now. You can call them whatever you want to call them, right? Anyways, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. All right. Well, you know what? I published my newsletter. I'm probably one of the most transparent people in the entire business. You can see right through me, right? Anyways, I have my newsletter that I publish every week. It's all full of publicly traded companies that I consider to be, you know, ones that meet my criteria. Everybody has a different criteria. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to me, one of my team, Barry, etc., here at Gunderson Capital, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Hey, this looks like it's going to be a fun day in the market. I can't wait to dig in. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.